In our study of the Gospel of John, remembering again last living apostle, and he's giving you an overview of all of history, all of the New Testament, except for his writing at the end, all of the Old Testament. He's helping you understand when it's all said and done, beginning to end, it's all about God. The Gospel of John is to the world, behold thy God, God the Creator, the Redeemer. Now, having said that, and as we have proceeded through the Gospel of John, chapter 6, all the way to verse 46, now, in order to get the next part, I'm going to go back a step. I want to bring you forward in what we've done to connect the pieces, to see them connected. You need to see them connected. And God is going to say something marvelous, make something extremely clear. And yet, wonderfully simple and terribly profound. Wow. Now, so if I may, in the light of that, we shared together in John 6 that having fed the 15,000 men, women, and children plus, having fed them, and in Bethsaida, and he's crossed over during the night to Capernaum, and he fed them. Five loaves and two fishes. Five barley loaves and two fishes. And he fed them. And now they got up in the morning to hope to have another big meal of a very special breakfast. They had a special supper, as it were, like none other. The barley biscuits, which are cheap, the cheap food of the poor. God made those biscuits, I'm sure. I'm sure you, they had never eaten a biscuit and a fish. They never had a fish sandwich like that. They never had one like that. They say, where did you find these fishes? Now, so having fed them, and they're all excited about having another meal for breakfast, he isn't there, they follow him all the way over to Capernaum. And thus they follow him over there. And in the process, before they did that, remember, in chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, having seen the wonderful thing that he did, they wanted to go, chapter 6 and verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. That was before he crossed over to Capernaum. And they wanted to make him king on their terms. They wanted someone who could overcome Rome, overcome Herod, King Herod, overcome their needs, provide for their healing and health and everything, and a wonderful governmental program of which he would be the head. And they wanted that. That is not the plan of God at all, and it is not the way of God. But that's what they wanted, and he avoided. They couldn't do it. They tried to force him, but he escaped, as always. And now here he is in Capernaum, and with that, that's the crowd. They want to make him king. They want him. They're going to make him, have him be their solution. And thus, that is the movement. So now when we come to in chapter 6 and in verse 24, the people having come over, they found him, remember, and in the process, they wanted to know how he got there, etc. And they were looking. They were looking for what? They were looking. They came all the way over there to where he was, looking for more of Christ's miracles. For what reason? To fill their stomach, the god of their belly, the belly being their god. They wanted more food for their stomach. And they wanted to go and make him king. They wanted to have his works and his wonders. They wanted to go and have all of the benefits that he could do, obviously, that they could not. So they wanted that. Chapter 6 and verse 29, and they wanted to go and do, they wanted to labor, to work, to have all the benefits, but God said, if you had the benefits as king, and I did everything and fed you, you would still die in your sins. You would not be saved. You would all be dead in your trespasses and sin if I did that. I'm not going to do that. And now, labor, verse 27. Labor for the food that perishes. The food is perishing. They were going to go and pursue that which was of no value. And thus in the process, in verse 29, Jesus, remember, they wanted to be able to do the works that he did. They wanted to be able to accomplish. Well, if would you help us to be able to do all by our lonesome, to provide, to eat, to have all the benefits? Would you help us be able to do what you do? You remember verse 29? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And the one thing, work, singular, not plural, they needed to do, they wanted to do the works. And in the process of doing the works, they needed to believe. They couldn't do the works. God had to do the works. But they needed to believe a work. They just needed to believe. What's the one thing, one only thing that God requires? That you believe him. You believe. Allow God, look to God to be God. That's what to do. Give him the benefit, reverence, respect that he's God. Allow him to be God who he is. And thus in the process, they needed God, his person. Well, but they didn't understand that. And who is this before them? Before them. And in the process, remember, you've got to go back just one step here before we go forward. Chapter 5, and in verse 18, remember the problem they have with him. Chapter 5, verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but, oh, how much more serious. He said also that God was his father. They didn't have a problem with that was very clear to them in their language and in their culture and in their background. He was making himself equal with God. He was saying that he was God. That's what he said. Now, the whole issue is, he just said he was God, made very clearly. Now, that's a problem for the Jews, very much so. Because how could God, the invisible, infinite God, who has no dimensions, how can God be a man? How could God be a man? So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, what are they going to do? Well, they have to believe. They have to believe that God is who he is. And in the process, his person was before them. His person, God, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, God was before him. And they couldn't grasp that. How can this man be God? How can this man be God? And they had a real problem with that. They did. And is he greater than Moses? Can he be greater than Moses? More than Moses? And so in the process, chapter 6 and in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And of course, the Lord answered that and said, well, Moses didn't give them the bread. God gave them the bread. The bread of God, the bread of God, verse 33, the bread of God is he, a person, which cometh down, which has come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And he, the true bread, the end of verse 32, the true bread from heaven, verse 33, is he which came down from heaven. That is the true bread. Therefore, they're all now riled up. They want this bread, and they're looking to feed their stomach still. They haven't moved forward to bigger than themselves, more than themselves, more than their material world. They were locked into it. Therefore, they come, if they wanted to receive this bread, verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So they wanted. Now, they didn't understand. They didn't hear. Who are you? They didn't know. What he said unto them? Do you understand what he's saying? No, we don't understand what he's saying. We don't know who he is, but he is certainly somebody, and he will give us this bread. Can he be God? Well, no, he can't be God. He can't be God. But, and we can't do his works. We need to believe, but we aren't going to believe. So therefore, but, if he can hand us this bread, and he has this bread, then give it to us. But they didn't understand. The person standing in front of them was the bread. And they wanted some bread. They had their hands out to walk away with bread enough for themselves and everybody. And they did that. Now, having said that, and God gave, and they aren't going to believe, so verse 35, remember, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So here we are looking, and they don't understand who he is. They don't understand what he has said, or what he's saying at all. They don't understand that. They're missing out on the grace and mercy. He says very directly, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Verse 35. Now, verse 37, God rebukes them. Remember verse 36? They didn't believe. But I said unto you that ye also have seen and believed me and believe not. They're not believing. Verse 36. He rebukes them. God is going to do what he's going to do because he's God. He's going to save whosoever will that believes, whether you understand it or not. Verse 37, 38, 39, and 40. Now, having got through there, and he's the only Savior, and God is busy saving. Now, what are they going to do with that? So far, they didn't like the fact that he's God. They didn't like the fact they had to believe. They like to have something, not to have a believing locks you into a relationship. When you believe the pew holds you, then you sit in it. And the pew is the pew and stays the pew. That's what you do. When you believe in the dentist, you believe the dentist, and the dentist is the dentist, and you open your mouth, and he does what he does. When you believe the doctor does what he does in surgery, etc. He does it. You believe. You're going to believe God. That means I have to believe God that you're God. They didn't want to do that. And he just told them that they didn't believe and that God is doing what he's doing anyway, regardless of anybody. So now, what are they going to do with that one? Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because, now what are they saying? Because he said, I am the bread. Now, Moses instrument that called down the bread from heaven, and God gave manna for 40 years to Israelites in the wilderness. But now, what's he saying? He's saying he's coming down. Not bread. He isn't saying he's greater than Moses. He's coming down. He's the bread. Verse 40. I am the bread which, verse 41, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I am that bread. That's what their complaint was. He said, I'm the bread. He said, he's the bread that came down from heaven, like the manna in the wilderness. And they had a Boy, they didn't like that one. So now what are they going to do? So they said, verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Now, we know him. Who is he? He's Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea, of flesh and blood. We know his mother, stepfather. We didn't understand that. We didn't understand that part. But his Joseph and Mary, we know them. In Nazareth, now, that's a no place. And here we are, we know him. He's nobody. He's just an ordinary guy that somehow is able to do extraordinary things in an extraordinary way. And boy, we'll use him. Do you understand him? Nope, not at all. Not at all. It's Jesus. Hang on to, do you see the little phrase, verse 42? They said, is not this Jesus? I want you to hang on those two words. This Jesus. This one that said, I'm going to finish verse 42. How is it then, verse 42, how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? This Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judea is saying he came down from heaven. This Jesus, we know him. They really don't, but we know him. We know all about him. We know all about him. We know him. And he's the one said, this Jesus came out of heaven, came out of heaven. That's the name. And of course, the Lord knows what they're saying. Verse 42, 43, they're murmuring. And the Lord Jesus then answered them that no one can come to the Father if you don't believe. You don't believe. The Lord Jesus Christ pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ pointed to the person of God the Father. And when you saw him, you saw God the Father. You saw God. He was God. And if you don't believe, then you won't come and you don't get saved. Now we come, if we can, having said that, and they've rejected him all the way. So you come to verse 47 now, and you have a verily, verily. It's used 25 times in the Gospel of John, and it's always double. Sometime elsewhere it's verily, and verily, and verily. But in the Gospel of John, it's always verily, verily. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Amen, amen. A word stating, commanding, exclaiming something. What's it exclaiming? It's exclaiming what? It is, amen, it is so. To say something most emphatically, in truth. Amen, amen. It is so. It is absolutely true. Absolutely. No questions about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. And when you put amen at the front, it does that. When you put amen at the end and say amen at the end, you're putting a confirmation, so be it. So be it. It is so. It is so at the front. It is absolutely going to be at the end. Amen. Verily, verily. I'm trying to tell you something that absolutely is true in all of forever. It's true, like it or not. It's true. Wow, verily, verily. You won't read that anywhere else. You won't read that in the Quran. You won't read that in the Book of Science and Mind. You won't read that anywhere. Only here. Only in God's Word. Verily, verily, I tell you. Wow. Sober, sober. Wow, you betcha. Now, verily, verily, what are you going to say? Again, you've already said it, verse 30, you already said it in verse 30 previously. And now, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm telling you, each of all of you, that each one, verily, verily, you be assured, if you are believing, I'm saying to you, present tense, I'm saying to you, if you are going to be believing me, you are going to have life. That's what you're going to do. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to who I am. Now, and in the light of verily, verily, and verily, verily, he says who he is. Now, and you have that over in, oh, without doing any of them, chapter 3, just for one of them. Chapter 3, you would recall. And in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's repeated 25 times. Now, in the light of verily, verily, verse 47, He that believeth on me hath, the person is having, everlasting life, continuous life, endless life, life forever, without an end, eternity. Eternity, it means. They have everlasting life. It never ends. It never, never, never ends. Never. And thus, you're going to have, if you believe on me, verse 48, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am. I am presently the bread of life. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. I'm going to say it as clear as I can to you. I am the bread of life. Now, keep in mind, verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, 40 years, and are dead. Even Moses and Aaron died. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Are dead. Just plain old dead. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. So now, This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. This is the bread. Now, hang on a sec and go back over with me to verse 42. Do you see? They said, is not this Jesus? And he's standing right in front of them. This Jesus, right there. Jesus, this guy. And now what are you going to say, Lord? I'm going to say, this bread, this Jesus that you're pointing to, looking at, you're looking at him, this Jesus, this one, born in Bethlehem of Judea, this Jesus. Now watch. The Lord's so good at what he does. What did I tell you? This is verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's looking, it said, the one you're looking at that you say was born of the son of Mary and Joseph, I want you to know this one is the bread of life. This one that you say, nah, he's nobody. Hold it. He is the bread of life. And if you believe and eat thereof, you will not die. You will never, never die. Never die. Never, never. You are not going to die. Ever. You're going to have everlasting life. You're never going to die. You're going to die physically, but you're not going to die spiritually. You're never going to die. And remember they said, remember in verse 34, so you get the flavor of this, the flavor, 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, give us this bread, but you're Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the bread that you're looking for. I am that bread. This bread you're looking for, I am that man. Now, how clear can you get? I'm trying to tell you guys. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know why what I'm saying. You guys are all hooked on to an earthly human intelligence that leaves you ignorant. Now, if I can, in the light of that, in the light of this bread, and while you're here, we'll pick it up again. Why not? In the light of that. Verse 51. I am. He's going to say it over and over. Remember Exodus 3:14? Who am I? Moses said, who am I going to say? Is doing all this stuff to the Israelites and to Pharaoh. You tell him, I am that I am. I am. I am who I am. Wow. Wow. And what's he say? Over and over again. I am. I am. I am. I am. You've got to repeat it all the time. He says, I am. See? I am. Wow. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I'm the one that came down from heaven. But he came, remember their problem, the end of verse 41. He's the one that came down from heaven. How can he be? Well, he said, I am. I came down from heaven. No question. You guys don't understand. I came down from heaven. And if any man may or may not eat of this bread, remember in verse 50, this is the bread, verse 51, this bread, verse 42, this Jesus, see what he's doing? He said, this Jesus, the one, me, you're talking, this Jesus, this bread. So there's no question he's giving it to him. This bread, I am. Wow. Now, in the process then, which I am the living, I am, the, if any man eat of this bread, this Jesus who you say is from Nazareth, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm going to give this bread. And by the way, the bread that I'm going to give as you're looking at me is my flesh. The man standing in front of you is the bread. Flesh and blood. Flesh, the word flesh. In my human nature, person, humanity. In this flesh, I give my flesh. The person, Jesus, that you say is son of Joseph. This Jesus is the bread from heaven. This one is the bread. Now, and if you eat thereof, you'll never die. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, and he shall live forever. Now, in the light of this, he's standing there. Here he is looking. They're looking right at him. They can touch him. He could, whatever. Listen, see him. Now, go over with me, please. In the light of that, over, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm looking now. I wanted you just to absorb. Let me put it in a little package. He's standing in front of them, humanly, wonderfully there. They will not acknowledge who he is or what he's saying. He said, I am the one. I am the one. I am the bread. I am the bread. This flesh and blood that you see in front of you, eyes, ears, nose, throat, heart, soul, spirit, I am the one. I am the one in front of you. I am the bread. My flesh. Now, so I want to get a handle on that. Now, what do we need to remember? That John, that's why John is written, to help them understand, he has come in the flesh. God in the flesh. John 1, as you know, and going if I can, John 1 and in verse 14. John 1 and 14. And the Word was made, you're going to read the same word every time, so you don't have to go back to it. And the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh, human, born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as ever of the only begotten, not of the Son, of the Father. He came to represent the Father, and the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, verse 1, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, what was their problem? He made himself equal with God. He said he was God. And that was unacceptable to them, that he could be God. Now, in the light of that. Or if you would to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And picking up directly, if I can, in verse 6. John 3, 6. The Lord talking to Nicodemus. I'll read verse 5. Well, read verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But humans are humans. Humans, that's what they are. I want you to know that I am a human, a perfect human, born in Bethlehem, Judea, by way of the Spirit of God, a virgin birth, wonderful, wonderful, born of the Virgin Mary. I am a full, perfect human. Perfect humanity, united with perfect deity. I'm the God-man. The God-man. God took on humanity. God adapted, brought to himself, incarnation, the God-man. Now, and thus, John, 1 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, picking up if I can, directly in verse 16, as you know, 1 Timothy 3 and 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then notice the clause, God was manifest in what? In the flesh. See, you have to guess. God revealed himself, how so? In the flesh. See? My flesh, the one standing in front of you. I'm the bread. God manifested himself. God manifested in the flesh. God is manifested in the flesh. Wonderfully, wonderfully so, in the flesh. Over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You would recall, and you know, that Adam and Eve, and all of us are out of, the same as you are out of your mom and dad, the seed and the egg. Everyone came out of Adam and Eve. All of humanity multiplied, Adam and Eve. The Adam, the line of Adam, belong to Adam. Adam's race, we do. And therefore, Adam's condition, dead in sin, was passed on to all of us. And among other things, that's our condition. We're born separated from God, dead in sins. God, in his wonderful grace, we aren't like angels. Angels are all individually made. Here we are in Adam's race, and God had a solution for Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman. Remember Genesis 3:15. Christ was going to come and provide a solution and save. Christ was going to come and save. When he saved, died for Adam on the cross, he died for everyone in Adam. Everyone in Adam reaps the benefits, the solution that God has provided. Now, we can't be born physically. We were born physically into the line of Adam. True? We're born spiritually into the line of God. And God made our birth, second birth, possible. He made it so we could be born again. He made it possible. So when he died for Adam, he died for everyone in Adam. So now, keeping that in mind, he had to what? Become flesh. Chapter 2, Hebrews, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Wow. Verse 15. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, no, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, his humanity, The man standing in front of you is the bread. He's God incarnate. Literally, wonderfully God. Impossible? No, not at all. This is God. So no debate, nothing. What are you going to say? You want to know why, who I am and what I can do and why I can do it? Because of the being who I am, the God-man. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Picking up, please. If I can, in verse 5. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body born, Virgin Mary, Bethlehem of Judea, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. For above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, verse 8, thou wouldst not, that was never going to do it. Never 1,000 bulls or 1,000 sheep will never do it. Not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And God has come to what the law, Mosaic law, couldn't do, Christ could do. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified and set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The flesh, the one standing in front of you, the one standing in front of you. That's the one you want to look at. Now, I want you to know, I can't be your substitute. You're going to have to die. But I have put on a body of Adam, in the line of Adam. I belong to the same tribe you do. I belong to the same tribe, same group of people. I also belong to God. I'm going to die. I am the perfect substitute. You are going to have to die. But I'm going to die in your place. Now, how are you going to die in my place? I'm flesh in the line of Adam. That's why. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and you could read over in Peter, if you would. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 4, better. 1 Peter, chapter 4. Just the first part of the verse to catch the flavor of it. 1 Peter 4, 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, how so? In the flesh. Remember Isaiah 53 we did in Sunday school. He became sin for us. In his own body, he took all our sicknesses, all our diseases, everything we got. He carried it to the cross. He did. He's a perfect substitute. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Verse 18, he's the perfect sacrifice. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust reason, that he might bring us to God. How? Being put to death in the flesh. Now, God can't die. But this one standing in front of you, who's the bread of life, can die. Perfect substitute, perfect sacrifice. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit of God. Now, not only that, over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And picking up, please, in thought. Romans 3. May I go, not only substitute, sacrifice, satisfaction. What Christ does, has done. What God has done in and by himself in Christ satisfies the righteousness of God totally. God is satisfied with being the substitute, being the sacrifice, and he's the perfect satisfaction, propitiation. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 25. I'll read verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, chapter 3, verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, satisfaction, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance, the holding back of God. God could have let go, but he held back in his long before being angry. Verse 26. Why did he do this? To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. What do I want you guys to do? All you can do is believe that I am the bread of life. You want to have all the works, the power? You have to believe. You have to have me. Without me, you have nothing. Nothing at all. I am. Wow. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God, you provide perfect satisfaction, righteousness. I do. And thus, dear friend, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and in verse 21, 5 and 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, substitute, sacrifice, who knew no sin, that's right, the sinless Son of God, that he might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God, you did something wonderful for us in your flesh, your people standing in front of the Lord. Do you understand that you all have problems and you're all going to die? And you're all going to die, and I have come to be, I am like you to save you. Do you understand that? No. Do you understand that if I'm not like you, you have to all die in your sins? Do you understand that? No. Now, over to 1 Corinthians. For he has made unto us righteousness. And you would note. First Corinthians chapter 1, and going to verse 29, 1 and 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made to come into existence. He has brought our way, made possible. God is whom Jesus Christ, who God has made him, unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, so that according as it is written, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So I'm going to tell about anything to heaven, angels, good, bad, earth, work, home, school, play. How come? Because the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, remember that's the problem of our day, Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist will not believe that Jesus has come, God in the flesh. That's the problem. Not that Jesus didn't die. Jesus is God. And that's the problem. And the spirit, that's the mood, the move, the movement today. Wow. Wow. So now, God, he's made righteous, and we're going to delight. Now, God, make it simple a little bit. You know how I benefit, and you do? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you fulfill a wonderful, wonderful purpose, design that God has for us in his grace. That you would know Colossians 1:27, among other places. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where? In this flesh. His flesh for my flesh. The God-man for me to be housing God. Say it again another way. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, woman, be, boy, or girl, be found where? In Christ. He's a new what? All things have passed away. Everything has become new. Wow. In the flesh. In the flesh. We're saved to the uttermost. In this flesh. Do you understand? We don't have someone out there floating up on the cross and disappeared. No, sir. Oh, boy, we don't have that. God, here we are. God. And that's why you gave us the Gospel of John. We're trying to read it, God, and get a hold of how can we have such a relationship to you like that? Because I sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. I became a man so that you could become a new creature. I did that. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God help us. God help us. It's so wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully beautiful. And the unbelieving heart, blinded in darkness, doubt, despair, disappointment, no hope, no help. God, all you did, you just want us to believe. And you have written it down and made it as clear as possible to these dear Jewish people that stood in front of you. You made it clear. God, they just didn't catch it. They just didn't get it. God, here we are. And we're looking, we have all of the advantages of history and everything hugely ahead of them. And God, too many don't believe. They just don't believe. And therefore they never get saved. And they're going to die in their sins. God, thank you. Our flesh, reminding of your flesh on the cross. And that one day, we're going to see you in your wonderful resurrected body. The Lamb. Oh God, you're so wonderful. The little Lamb. God, you call yourself the little Lamb. Wow. Thanks a bunch. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, help them. God, it's so simple. And the world has loused it up so awesomely. So that who's going to be saved, God? Except we have a humbled heart and are willing to yield to your word and to your wonderful presence. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, the stanza in closing of 548. 548.